In prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before your blessed throne on your wonderful, blessed Shabbat. And we thank you, Father, for bringing us here to Selah, to the wilderness. And Father, it just sends chills up our spine to read about this place in Scripture, and then to be able to be here during Sukkot and see with our eyes of what you're doing in these last days. So Father, we pray your Spirit to guide and lead us. We pray, Father, that you can give us eyes to see and ears to hear. And we thank you, Father, for opening up your word and writing your word and preserving your word for us. We pray, Father, for your kingdom to come to the earth as it is in heaven. And Father, we thank you for the great sacrifice of sending your Son to pay the penalty of our sins, which we would not be sitting in these chairs without that sacrifice. So we give you all praise and honor and glory. In the name of Yeshua, we pray. Hallelujah. So, I was thinking about, you know, which Bible study I would do. I know we still have Hebrews, the 13th chapter, to go, but with everything going on in prophecy today, in the world today, I decided for today I'm going to do a Bible study called Prophecy for Today. Pretty much to kind of bring a lot of these scriptures from the prophets and put them in together to show you where we are. And, you know, it's very interesting that Yahweh wrote the Bible in a way that from the time of Yeshua, every generation probably thought they were the last generation. I'm guessing. I don't know for sure. I know the first generation did, because the Apostle Paul says things. He said he preached the gospel to the world, and the Apostle Peter said, you know, that it was time for Yeshua to ready to return. But there were a few things that the early believers and the early apostles didn't get. Because there are many things that happen in the end time that happen in other times. Earthquakes. There's been times in the world where there's earthquakes. There's times in the world where there's war. There's times in the world where all kinds of things. But the Bible tells us you've got to watch for something first. Because to know that these earthquakes or these wars are end time wars, You've got to be in the end time to know that. And how do we know we're in the end time? Watch the fig tree, right? So, again, they didn't understand that until Israel was a sovereign nation again, the end time couldn't start. So, in the days of Yeshua, a lot of the things he talks about, in Matthew 24, Luke 21, Mark 13, a lot of those things happened in the first century. You know, many of those things, even the abomination of desolation, you know, that we know happened by the Romans, you know, when they came in and desecrated Yahweh's temple. But the end time couldn't start until Israel became a nation again. And that's why I've given many, many, many sermons on this throughout the years of the importance of Israel being a nation again. I'm not going to talk about that today, but I just want to make that point starting. You know, as we see these other scriptures coming alive, and we see what's happening today in the battles that are going around, they can only be precedented on the fact of Israel first being a nation. So I'm going to start in Isaiah 19. I'm going to spend most of the time today in Isaiah and Jeremiah. Because we're really starting to see things come apart here in the Middle East. I have a really good video I'm going to show you. It's not a very long video. It might be 40 minutes on different clips about Israel and the war that's going on. And most of it is a interview that I don't know if anybody here ever heard of Judge Napolitano. My father likes him because he comes from New Jersey and he's Italian. Two things if you're an Italian New Jersey that you would like. But he's a really good judge. You know, he used to be on Fox News and now he's on other things. But he's interviewing a five-star general, General, sounds like MacArthur, but it's not MacArthur. MacArthur's dead a long time. But anyway, you'll know when you see the video. And this general is going into what's happening with Israel today and how Israel by far is not winning this war. You know, unless their goal is simply just killing innocent people, they're not winning the war, because the biggest problem with Israel, and this is the way it's been since 1948, is having world opinion on Israel's side. So You know, Israel always seems to have the evangelicals on their side, which is great, you know, for people who like Bible prophecy, but the evangelicals are not going to save Israel in the day of trouble. And we're coming very, very close to a point now, because you have Israel fighting not only Hamas inside the country, and now it's gone to the West Bank and these other areas where they're also fighting the Palestinian Authority and the Islamic Jihad and all these other ones, but now it's all-out war with Lebanon, as we see, and Lebanon announced, I think it was yesterday, that they are holding back no red lines anymore. You know, that if Israel wants to continue with this, then they're fighting to the death. They're also getting attacked from Iraq, from the, I don't know if you're watching that, but almost every day, and they're getting attacked from Yemen. You know, so there's a lot of areas that they're getting attacked from, and of course, what everybody is waiting for, which Israel said, is when they come and they will hit Iran, and they said they're going to hit them extremely hard, because we saw, what was it, a week or 10 days ago, that Iran sent hundreds of missiles toward Israel and did a lot of damage. They were not sending missiles to kill innocent women and children or blow down hospitals. They were hitting Israel's military installations, and one of the reasons why Israel didn't hit back right away is they had a fair amount of damage at their military installations. So, you know, they gave Israel something to think about, and we will see. But this is coming now from all ends of the Middle East. And Israel has a peace agreement with Jordan, but that is really getting severed as things are going on. And the one that's even more important than that is Egypt. Because Egypt is really just about had it. And a matter of fact, a few weeks ago, Egypt was ready to break the peace deal they've had since 1979. With Israel. Because one thing Israel says, and they have the right, that they want to watch the Philadelphia Corridor, which is the border between Egypt and Gaza, because that's where the things are being smuggled from. But according to the peace deal in 79, they cannot do that. And if they do that, you know, they are going to break the peace deal that they've had for the last 40 years. And Egypt is getting ready to. So as we're reading all this, think about as I'm saying this, because everything I'm going to talk to you about is about things that says what's going to happen with these countries in Israel in the time we're living in. So chapter 19 says, the burden of Egypt, behold, Yahweh rides on a light cloud and comes into Egypt. And the idols of Egypt shall tremble from before him, and the heart of Egypt shall melt in its midst. And I will stir up Egyptians against Egyptians, and each man shall be a fight against his brother, and each against his neighbor, city against city, kingdom against kingdom. And we're seeing this. We're seeing it in Lebanon, right? There's civil war going on in Lebanon. There's civil war going on in Iran. There's civil war going on in Israel. And all these countries, there's civil war going on for people that are against one thing and people that are against another thing. And now when Egypt gets involved, we'll see the same thing in Egypt. Drop down to verse 17. And the land of Judah will be a terror to Egypt. Everyone who mentions it shall dread to it from before the council of Yahweh and hosts, which he counsels against it. And we're seeing that. What is one of the reasons why? Lebanon was hasty to get involved, and Iran is not so, you know, is not hasty, but hesitant to get involved. Because they see what Israel can do. Israel has one of the best air forces in the world, and they can do a lot of damage, you know, to infrastructure, to hospitals. In Gaza, they bombed one hospital 7 different times. You know, and you have a humanitarian crisis there to the point where America, and I blame America more than I blame Israel, because America is the one giving them the bombs and the money to do this stuff. And then saying, well, be careful with it. But America came out 2 days ago and said, you have 30 days to stop this humanitarian crisis there, or we're having an arms embargo against you. And without America giving the money and the arms, Israel is done. Israel does not have it. I saw this in 206. We were living in the Sea of Galilee. And actually, America had every bullet down what can be shot. And how many a day? Now it's the opposite. And people are shocked. Because it's not America who is controlling Israel. It's Israel that's controlling America. And Israel is the one that is dictating where this thing is going. And they pretty much had enough. They're ready to just take on everybody, and yet it's not going to be so good. But yet they are going to get their shots in, as we're seeing with Lebanon, and as we will see with Iran. You know that they will get, and Egypt. So they will get their shots, but in the end, remember, Israel is a tiny little country. So it's not a matter of getting your shots into the other people if in the end, two-thirds of your country is destroyed. So they really have to think, what is it going to be in the end? Verse 19 is kind of interesting. It says, then an altar to Yahweh will be built in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar to Yahweh at its border. I've seen that pillar. That's the pillar down at the end of Sinai, the pillar there that was put up by Solomon. The pillar at the Red Sea crossing. And here it is, it says it right here in Isaiah 19:19. And it shall be for a sign and for a witness to Yahweh of hosts in the land of Egypt, right? And now we're seeing the witness. For the first time, when I was just there in Saudi Arabia a couple of weeks ago, I got to see the area where Solomon put the pillar on the Saudi side. When we were there, we couldn't see it because of the storm they had that blew it over. But now they put cement poles, they put everything, they painted it so that it can't be mixed up anymore. So there's one on both sides there, and it's a sign. It's a sign for a witness to Yahweh of hosts in the land of Egypt, where they will cry to Yahweh because of the oppressors, and he will send them a savior, even a great one, and will deliver them. You know, so what are we talking? We're talking about end time stuff going on here. And Yahweh shall be known to Egypt. Egypt shall know Yahweh in that day, and they will offer sacrifice and offering and vow a vow to Yahweh and repay it. And then look at verse 23. And in that day there will be a highway out of Egypt to Assyria, and Assyria will come to Egypt, and Egypt into Assyria, and Egypt will serve with Assyria, and in that day Israel will be the third with Egypt and Assyria, blessing in the midst of the earth. So this is during the millennial times. So there is going to be peace that's going to come, but there's going to be a lot of tough times and tough days before that. So clearly, when we're looking at this, we're looking at end time, time we're now going into millennial days. Go to chapter 21 of Isaiah, starting in verse 2. A harsh vision is revealed to me, the deceiver betrays, and the plunderers plunders. Go up, O Elam! Besiege, O Media! I've caused all her sighing to cease. Who's Elam and Media? Those are the Russians and the Iranians. You know, those are the Russians and the Iranians. What is he saying? Go up, fight. Because of this, my loins are filled with pain. Pangs have taken hold of me like the pangs of a travailing woman. I am bowed from hearing. I am troubled from seeing. My heart wanders. Terror overwhelms me. He has made the twilight of my pleasure into a fear. Arrange the table, watch in the watchtower. Eat, drink, rise up, rulers, and anoint the shield, right? They're getting ready for war. For so Yahweh has said to me, go, set a watchman. He will declare what he sees. Right? That's what the watchman's for. The watchman is to warn the people. And what does he see? He sees a chariot and a couple of horsemen. A chariot of a donkey, a chariot of a camel, and let him give ear attentively, very attentively. So what horsemen are we seeing? We're seeing the white horse, we're seeing the red horse that are coming. And he cried, a lion, Yahweh. I always stand on my watchtower by the day, and I am stationed at my post all the night. And behold, here comes a chariot of a man, a pair of horses. And what does he say? Babylon has fallen, and he has smashed the graven images of her gods to the earth. So, as we're looking at what's happening to Israel, just remember, as Babylon goes, Israel goes. As Israel goes, Babylon goes. They're connected together in the end time. You know, one is connected with the other. And it's like a, you know, a bad alliance that they have there. But again, once Babylon falls, there's no way that Israel can. So as this is going on now, what is he saying? Babylon, out of nowhere, Babylon has fallen. He smashed the graven images of her gods to the earth. Oh, my threshing and the grain of my floor, that which I have heard of Yahweh of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, I have told you. The burden of Duma. Where is Duma? Duma is in Saudi Arabia. The burden of Duma. He calls to me out of Seir. Where is Seir? Here in Jordan, right? So in Jordan, they're seeing this going on in Saudi Arabia, and they're calling out saying, look what's happening over there in Israel. And Babylon has fallen. You know, and everybody's hearing it, and what's going to happen? Once they hear Babylon has fallen, they're all going to come against Israel. America's the only thing holding them up right now. He calls to me out of Seir, watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? The watchman says, the morning comes and also night. If you would inquire, come return. The burden of Arabia, right? Saudi Arabia. You shall stay in the forests of Arabia, travelers of the Dedanites. The people of the land of Tema bring water to him who is thirsty. They went to meet the fugitive with his bread. For they fled from before swords, from the drawn sword and from the bent bow and from the press of the battle. So people are running away from this war. They're running, trying to get away from what's happening over there. For so Yahweh has said to me, within a year, as the years of a hireling, all the glory of Kedar shall be ended. Wow. So it's about a year this is going on, and Saudi Arabia is also going down with that. And it's really interesting now, you know, that Saudi Arabia has changed from the crown prince, the younger man, you know, the son, who has opened up. That's the reason why we're able to get there, because Yahweh has inspired it. But this guy there, the son, is not a good person. You know, he's bringing, like, changes coming into the country because he's part of this global, you know, thing that's going on with the NEOM project. But he is a bad person. And I know it. I've talked to a lot of Saudis over there. They are scared to death of him. And when they closed down Elam, you know, they just out of the blue put a fence around it, closed it down. They didn't want it. And when I said to one of the Bedouin men over there, I said, well, you know, you're building up tourism. Why don't you just, you know, tell the government you need this over here? And he said, if I contact the government today and tell them, you know, hey, can you take the fence down? He said, when I get home tonight, there'll be four police around my house saying, what do you think you're doing contacting the government? And they'll take me away and put me in prison. And he wasn't joking. Saudi Arabia is a nasty place when it comes to that. And the guy that's there, the crown prince, is a pretty bad person. And he says, and the rest of the number of the archers, the warriors, and the sons of Kedar shall be few, right? So Saudi Arabia's army isn't going to come out so great. For Yahweh of Elohim has spoken. So we're seeing, the Bible is actually, all the things that are happening now, the Bible is actually talking about this. Fighting with Iran, Iraq, people going to Saudi Arabia, right, for a year. So it seems to be that a whole year is going to go on when this thing really breaks out. It's going to be like a year-long war. Chapter 22. In verse 1, the burden of the valley of vision. What ails you now that you've gone up to the housetops, right? Wow. So something's happening that they're going up to the housetops. Something scary, right? And then what does Yeshua say in Matthew 24? Those in the housetops don't even come down to get your stuff. Because in ancient Israel, right, the houses were connected to each other. So if you were on the housetop and you saw military or whatever, you could actually jump from roof to roof to roof and get out. And if you simply came in to get some stuff, it's telling you 15 minutes can mean your life. Don't even come into your house to get a coat. You see that happening? Get out. Run. Go from housetop to housetop and get out of there. Verse 4. On account of this, I said, look away from me. I will weep bitterly. Do not hurry to comfort me over the ruin of the daughter of my people. Is Israel winning? No. No. In the beginning, they may look sharp. They may look tough. But when all the countries are coming around them, it's not happening. For it is a day of trouble and of trampling down and confusion by Adonai Yahweh of hosts in the valley of vision, digging down a wall and crying to the mountain. And Persia, right, Iran, lifted the quiver with the chariot of a man and a horseman, the red horse, and Kerr uncovered the shield. And it happened, your choicest valleys were full of chariots, and the horsemen surely set an order at the gate. So it seems to be their army, as Israel is getting, you know, hit. Men are coming, soldiers. And I saw just a few weeks ago that there were over 1 million Arabs that offered Hezbollah that they would come and fight for them. And Hezbollah said, not yet. You know, we have 120,000 of our own men right now, but when we need you, we'll let you know. Talking about in Iraq, in Iran, in Syria, in these different areas. More than 1 million that are ready to come to fight against Israel. And he removed Judah's covering. And you looked in that day to the armor of the house of the forest. You have also seen the breaks in the city of David, that they are many. And you gathered the waters of the lower pool. So we're seeing there that they're seeing that even though Judah looks really strong, there's breaks in their armor. There's ways that they can get them. Verse 13 and 14. Then lo, joy and gladness, slaying oxen and slaughtering sheep, eating flesh and drinking wine, saying, eat, drink, for tomorrow we die. Right? that it's looking very, very bleak, and this is how they're looking. And Yahweh of hosts revealed in my ear, surely this iniquity shall not be atoned for until you die, says Adonai Yahweh of hosts. And we're going to see how many in the land are going to die. And it's going to be a large amount of people, unfortunately. Verse 17. Behold, Yahweh hurls you with a hurling, O man, and grasps you with a grasping. Surely he will violently whirl you like a ball into a land wide of hands. You shall die there, and there are the chariots of your glory, the shame of your master's house. And I will drive you from your position, and he will pull you from your station. Wow. So it does not sound like victory there. Chapter 23, verse 1 and 2. The burden of Tyre. Right? You know what's been being hit in the last 2 weeks? Tyre, Lebanon, in the southern part. That's where, and the ironic part is, if you watch the news, that they're saying, there's nothing militarily over there. Why does Israel keep coming and hitting it, when there's nothing militarily over there? Well, this is why, the burden of Tyre. How, ships of Tarshish, for it is ruined, without house, without entrance. Look at the pictures, what they're doing there. They're destroying residential areas. No military things there, and just wiping them out. Maybe only because the scripture says it. Only Yahweh knows. It is revealed to them from the land of Kittim. Where is that? Cyprus. Right across the water. Over there. What's in Cyprus today? The British military base. One of the biggest ones they have. And, which nobody knows, but there's an American military base there. You know, they're not supposed to know, but there's a fairly big military base over there. So they're right across the water. It's one night's water from Cyprus going over to Lebanon. And he says it right here. Be silent, ones living in the coast. Trade of Sidon, crossing the sea, they have filled you. You know, it's revealed from the land of Cyprus. Really, really interesting, the stuff going on. Verse 5. As the report comes to Egypt, so they shall be grieved at the report of Tyre. So it's showing you what's getting some of these other countries involved, right? It was bad enough what's going on the Palestinians. They're saying to stop, but now it's to the point where countries are saying, either stop or militarily we're going to get involved. And Egypt is one of them. As the report comes to Egypt, so they shall be grieved at the report of Tyre. Pass over Tarshish, how, people of the coast? And it's interesting, Israel just recently, in the last couple of days, they put a blockade on the Lebanese coast. Can you imagine? In the country that's not theirs, they told the Lebanese people, you cannot go to that coast anymore. Stay away from the coast. We're blocking it. Passover Tarshish, how, people of the coast, is this your exalting city from days of old? Wow, her own feet carried far away. Wow, when we look at it in ancient times, today you look there and there's nothing. Just a blown up city. Who has counseled this against Tyre, the crowning city? Whose merchants are rulers, whose traders are the weighty of the earth? Yahweh of hosts has counseled it to stay in the pride of all glory, to bring all the honor to the earth into contempt. Pass through your land as the Nile, all daughters of Tarshish. There is no more strength. He stretched his hand over the sea. He shook kingdoms. Yahweh has made a decree against the merchant city to destroy its ports. And here it is. We're seeing it happen in real time. A matter of fact, some of the things they're destroying there are actually Roman forts from 2,000 years ago. Why Israel would bomb them? Scripture says it. It's amazing. We are seeing with our eyes Scripture being fulfilled. For no other reason than Yahweh said it. And he said, you shall rejoice no more, oppressed one, virgin daughter of Sidon. Arise, cross over to Cyprus. Even there is no rest to you. What's happening now in Lebanon? Thousands of people, British citizens and others, they're taking out of Lebanon. Where are they bringing them? Cyprus. You know? We don't have to be a prophet. That's what the Bible says. That's where they're going. Exactly like it says. Cross over to Cyprus, even there's no rest to you. So they're not going to have rest in Cyprus. They're just trying to get away from the war. Behold, the land of the Chaldeans, the people did not exist. Assyria founded it for those who live in the desert. They set up their siege towers. They lay bare its palaces. They anointed it to be a ruin. How, ships of Tarshish, for your fortress is ruined. And well, we're seeing it every day. Day after day after day. Bombing after bombing after bombing. So here it is. I'm going in order. I'm showing you this. How do we know that this is definitely the end time, right? Like I said, these chapter breaks were put in there much later when it was written. It's all written together. What does chapter 24 say? Lo, Yahweh empties the earth and makes it bare and distorts its face and scatters those living in it. As it is with the people, so with the priest. As it is with the servant, so with the master. As with the maid, so with his mistress. As with the buyer, so with the seller. As with the lender, so with the borrower. As with the creditor, so with the debtor. The earth shall completely be emptied and utterly stripped, for Yahweh has spoken this word. The earth mourns and languishes. The world droops and languishes. The proud people of the earth droop. And the earth is profaned under those living in it, because they've transgressed the Torah, they violate a statute, and they break the everlasting covenant. Wow. So look out, any country on the earth, this is the reason why they're coming into their punishment. On account of this, a curse has devoured the earth, and they who live in it are held guilty. For this, those living in the earth are consumed, and few men are left. If that's not the end time, I don't know what is. And it's all in chronological order, and I'm reading the words of the Bible exactly what is happening today to the T. Talk about prophecy, right? Unbelievable, amazing. Drop down to verse 12 and 13. Desolation is remaining in the city, and a ruin. The gate is battered. For it is thus in the midst of the earth among the people. It shall be as the shaking of an olive tree, and as the gleanings when the grape harvest is completed, right? So that's what Yahweh's saying. It's like when they go and they get the olives off the tree and those few are left there that were there that weren't taken, that's the way it's going to be. Few people are going to be left on the earth. Verse 17. Dread in the pit and a snare are upon you, one living in the earth. And it shall be, he who flees from the sound of dread shall fall into the pit. And he who comes up out of the middle of the pit shall be taken in a snare. For the windows from on high are opened, and the foundations of the earth quake. And what are we seeing? We're seeing some of the strongest earthquakes in the history of the world and all over the place, like the Bible says. The earth is breaking, breaking. The earth is crashing, crashing. The earth is tottering, tottering. And they said in 29, I don't know if you heard this, there's a, an asteroid that's coming by. It's called after like this Egyptian god of destruction, that's what they called it, that is coming very close to the earth. As a matter of fact, they said it's going to be lower than our satellites in like a second moon for months. And if it goes just in the right trajectory, it possibly may hit the earth. But they're hoping it doesn't, because they said if it did hit the earth, that would be the end of it. So I have that on one of the videos I'm going to show you. But wow, right at the same time that all this stuff is happening, you know. So, is it a coincidence? It can't be. The earth is breaking, breaking. The earth is crashing, crashing. The earth is tottering, tottering. Like a drunkard, the earth is staggering, staggering. And it rocks to and fro like a hut. That would only happen if it got hit with something, right? And its trespass is heavy on it, and it shall fall and not rise again. And it shall be in that day, Yahweh will punish the army of the high place on high, and on the kings of the land, on the land. And they shall be gathered, a gathering of prisoners in a dungeon. And they shall be shut up in a prison, and after many days they will be visited. Then the moon will blush, right? The moon will turn red. And the sun will be ashamed when Yahweh of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before his elders in his glory. So there's no doubt on earth that this is end time stuff. And we're seeing it. We're seeing Yahweh be faithful to his word, like he says. Joel 2. Joel chapter 2. Blow a ram's horn in Mount Zion and shout an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all those living in the land tremble, for the day of Yahweh approaches. It is near. It is a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. As the dawn spreads out on the mountains, a great and strong people, there has never been the like, nor shall there ever be again to the years of generations and generations. And, you know, like I said, living in Israel for 20 years, it's personal to me. I know the people, I know the land, I know everything. And yet, it disturbs me when I see, evangelical Christians, like, think that this is some kind of game. You know, you see these guys that are selling videos and selling books and everything, and like, wow, we're in the end time and this isn't happening. And then what happens? There's one bomb that can come in Israel, and you don't get one tour coming there anymore. So the people in the West, they're not going to risk anything You know, if there's even an ounce of danger involved, but yet, wow, they want to sit there and they want to talk about it and you know, and get excited about the world being destroyed because of their punishment. So this isn't a good thing. It's a sad thing that has to happen. But it's not something, you know, like the book of Amos says, who are you to look forward to the day of Yahweh? Don't you know it's a day of darkness, a day of gloominess? So it's not like something like some of these evangelicals look to. And like he says here, it's a day of darkness, of gloominess, of clouds and thick darkness. As the dawn spread out on the mountains, a great and strong people, there has never been the like, nor shall there ever be again to the years of generation and generation. The worst time the world will ever see and ever will see. A fire devours before it and a flame burns behind it. The land is the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them is a desolate wilderness. Yea, also there is no escape to them. So for the people of Yahweh, we're looking forward. We're looking to that Garden of Eden. For the people that aren't looking for Yahweh, it's a burnt wilderness. That's all they have. Their appearance is like horses, and as war horses, so they run. They will leap like the noise of chariots on the top of the mountains, like the noise of flames of fire that devour the chaff, as a strong people set in order to battle. Before their face the people shall be pained, all faces collect heat. They will run as mighty ones, they shall go up the wall as men of war, and they each go on his way, and they do not change their paths. And every man does not press his brother, they each go on his own path, and if they fall behind their weapon, they shall not be cut off. They shall rush on the city, they will run on the wall, they shall climb up on the houses, and they will enter in by the windows as a thief. The earth will quake from before them, the heavens will shake, the sun and moon will grow dark, and the stars will gather in their light. Just like we've been reading over here. So this is what happens, and then what happens? Yahweh is going to be pitiful for his land and merciful for his land, and Yahweh is going to come and redeem. He is going to come and redeem. So the day of Yahweh is coming, but salvation for those that repent. Zechariah 13, how bad will it get? I already saw it says few men are left there. In the land of Israel, what does it say? Zechariah 13, 8 and 9. And it shall be in the land, in all the land, says Yahweh, two parts in it will be cut off and perish, but the third part in it will be left. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and I will refine them as silver is refined, and I will try them as gold is tried. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, it is my people, and they will say, Yahweh is my Elohim. So in this war, two-thirds of the people are going to be wiped out, and out of that last third, only a remnant is going to make it. Only a remnant from there. Great cleansing. And like I said, not only for Judah, but also for Ephraim. The day of Jacob's trouble is not the day of Judah's trouble, it's the day of Jacob's trouble. So all the trouble that America has caused, all the trouble of the Europeans, it's all coming back in the day of Jacob's trouble. It'll come on all of them. Jeremiah 30. One through seven. And I'll drop down to verse 23. The word that came to Jeremiah from Yahweh saying, so speaks Yahweh Elohim of Israel saying, write for yourself all the words that I have spoken to you in a book. For lo, the days come, says Yahweh, that I will turn the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, says Yahweh. And I will cause them to return to the land that I gave their fathers, and they will possess it. Here we are, right? Israel the fig tree. And these are the words that Yahweh spoke concerning Israel and concerning Judah. Both Israel and Judah. For so says Yahweh, we have heard a sound of trembling and of dread and not of peace. Ask now and see whether a male is giving birth. Why do I see every man with his hands on his loins like a woman giving birth, and all faces are turned to paleness? Alas, for that day is great, for none is like it. It is the time of Jacob's trouble, but he will be saved out of it, right? So here it is. It's going to be a hard time, and like we already saw, just a small remnant will be saved. Verse 23 says, behold, the tempest of Yahweh fury goes forth, a sweeping whirlwind. It will whirl on the head of the wicked. The glow of the anger of Yahweh will not turn back until he is executed, until he has established the purposes of his heart. In the latter days, you'll understand it. Is this for the latter days? Of course. Of course it is. There's no other time it could be. So, as this is happening with Israel, what else is happening? Like we read in Isaiah, Babylon has fallen, Babylon has fallen. Jeremiah 51. That's the reason why Israel is uncovered. Because Babylon has fallen. Jeremiah 51 and verse 35 says, "The violence done to me in my flesh is on Babylon, the one living in Zion will say. And Jerusalem will say, my blood shall be on those living in Chaldea." So what happens? What happens is Babylon sets Israel up. And believe me, America does not have the best interest of Israel in mind. The same way that Iran is using Hezbollah and Hamas as a ploy for them, a satellite, it's the same way that America is doing with Israel. They're using Israel to do their bidding, but they could care less about Israel, and we know it. We know that in the political scene in the U.S., they don't care about anybody, you know, not even themselves. And when the time comes, as it says here, they will turn on Israel, and then Yahweh is going to bring down Babylon, and unfortunately, Israel is going to go down with it. Verse 41 says, "How Shishak is captured, and how the praise of all the earth is ceased," talking about Babylon. "How Babylon has become a ruin among the nations. The sea has come up over Babylon. She is covered with the multitude of its waves." What are we starting to see, right? We're starting to see tsunamis, and we're starting to see storms, and all these other things that are happening. A lot of it, they're controlling the weather, but you're going to see something happening in America. You know, there's a super volcano off the coast of Africa in the Atlantic Ocean. They said that if that thing ever blew, a third of America can go with that tsunami. So these are the days we're living in. You know, you're looking at the super volcano in the Midwest over there too. You know, so in Yellowstone, if that thing blew, that's another thing. You know, so in Yahweh's timing, all these things are happening. But like he says here, "The sea is covered up over Babylon. She is covered with the multitude of its waves. Her cities have become a ruin, a dry land in the wilderness, a land in which no man dwells, nor any son of man passes by." It's completely destroyed. "And I will punish Bel in Babylon, and I will bring forth out of his mouth that which he has swallowed up. And the nations will not flow together any more to him. Yea, the wall of Babylon shall fall." Right? Where's the only place on earth where all the nations meet? New York City, the United Nations. So no longer are they going to be meeting there because Babylon is going down. "My people, go out of her midst and deliver each man his soul from the burning anger of Yahweh, and that your heart not faint, and you fear the report that shall be heard in the land. The report will come in a year, and after that the report will come in another year. And there'll be violence in the land, governor against governor." And for years we've talked about, what are those reports, right? We don't know. What are those reports? Could it be Trump's two elections? You know, Trump 1 and Trump 2, the reports. Because the first one sure brought a lot of trouble. What will the second one bring? You know, we'll see. And it's interesting, because I was just talking the other day to a friend of mine who's a big general in Israel. And, you know, I was trying to give him a little comfort. They're not feeling so great there these days. And, you know, he's worried about what's coming here. And I said, well, you know, hey, don't worry. You know, at least, you know, you'll have America to be able to back you up. And he said, we know after the election, we can't rely on America. He said, we already understand that. He said, because we've already been told, we already know. Either way, whether Trump wins or Harris wins, he said, they understand what's going to happen there. There is going to be, I don't know if I'd go as far as say civil war, but let's just say civil unrest. There's going to be a lot of things that, like, either side is not going to accept the outcome of the election, and there's going to be a lot of chaos. So America is not going to be in a position to help Israel after November 5th. So we got some real unsettling times that are coming, and just like it says here, right? So the report, who knows what that report could be, but there's going to be a report in 1 year, a report in another year, and then like it says, governor against governor, violence, you know, civil war happening. "So behold, the days come that I will punish on the idols of Babylon, and all her land will be put to shame, and all her slain shall fall in her midst. Then the heavens and the earth and all that is in them shall shout for Babylon, for the plunderers shall come to her from the north, says Yahweh." Right? And you got to... A border up there. You know, they always talk about the southern border, but wow, you got a several thousand mile northern border with no fencing or whatever. You know? So, Russia from Alaska is not that far away. You know, you have the northern border, who knows what can happen. And it says, as Babylon is to fall for the slain of Israel, so for Babylon the slain of all the earth will fall. So America turning on Israel, which causes Israel's enemies to see an opportunity to come against her, and then Yahweh destroys Babylon because of what she did to Israel, very clearly. And we're living in those days. Who knows? Only Yahweh knows the timing, but it could be very, very soon that we're going to see this. Jeremiah 50, verse 13. Jeremiah 50 and verse 13. It says, because of the wrath of Yahweh, it shall not be inhabited, talking about Babylon. But all of it shall be a waste. Everyone who goes by Babylon will be amazed and hiss at all her plagues. Drop down to verse 16. Cut off the sower from Babylon and the one handling the sickle in the time of harvest. They shall turn from a sword of the oppressor, each one to his own people, and they will flee, each one to his own land. You know? So it's interesting because you have all these illegal immigrants coming into America now, but America was based by legal immigration. You know, and if you look from 1800, you know, to 1950, you had legal immigration, most of them coming from Europe, right? And now it's saying the opposite. It's saying that the people in America, because of what's happening there, they're all going to go back to the country that their parents came from. They're going to go back to their homeland. They're going to, you know, they're going to leave there. So very, very interesting that he says there. The people are fleeing, each one to his own land. Israel is a scattered sheep, driven away by lions. First, the king of Assyria devoured him, and last, the king of King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon crunched his bones. So Yahweh opposed the Elohim of Israel, says this, behold, I am punishing the king of Babylon and his land as I have punished the king of Assyria. And I will again bring Israel to his home, and will feed on Carmel and Bashan, and his soul will be satisfied on Mount Ephraim and Gilead. Drop down to verse 23, how the hammer of the earth is cut off, how Babylon has become a ruin among the nations. Verse 28, the voice of those who flee and escape out of the land of Babylon to declare in Zion the vengeance of Yahweh or Elohim, the vengeance of his sanctuary. So the people that do escape there, they're there to explain to people about Yahweh's vengeance that's coming on that land. Jeremiah 51 in verse 28, consecrate nations against her with the kings of the Medes, right? What do we say? The Persians and the Medes, the Russians and the Iranians. So they're not only prophesied coming against Israel, they're also prophesied coming against Babylon. And it's interesting that last week I was explaining about why Israel took in the last 20 years, about a million Russians into their country. But last week, for the first time, Putin told the Russians to leave Israel. He told the citizens, the ones that were Russian citizens before, to get out of there, you know, to leave. So we see this, the Medes and the Persians coming against Israel and coming against Babylon. And the land trembles and writhes in pain. For every purpose of Yahweh will be done against Babylon to make the land of Babylon a waste without one living in it. It's going to be completely decimated. First by armies, right? First by war, and secondly by natural disasters. Like I said, tsunamis, super volcanoes, you know, all these things that Yahweh's going to bring. The mighty men of Babylon have stopped fighting. They've dwelt in their strongholds. Their might is withered. They become as women. They have burned their houses. Their bars are broken. It's kind of interesting, you know. This is maybe the only time in the Bible that it talks about, what's that term when a man turns into a woman?
Transgendering
or transitioning or whatever they call it. Well, here we see it with the army people. You know, the men are turning into women. And it's not just figuratively as we see as we're living in these times, right? So, wow, who would have ever thought just even a few years ago? Jeremiah 50 and verse 35. It says, a sword is on the Chaldeans, Babylon, says Yahweh, and on those living in Babylon, on her rulers and on her wise men. A sword is on the liars, and they will become fools. A sword is on her mighty men, and they will be broken. A sword is on his horses and his chariots and all the mixed people in her midst, and they shall become as women. A sword is on her treasuries, and they will be robbed. The drought is on her waters, and they will be dried up. It is the land of idols, and they boast themselves in idols. So the beasts of the desert will dwell there with jackals, and the daughters of the ostrich will dwell there in her again. And it shall not again have anyone in it forever. It shall not be lived in from generation to generation. In the kingdom, there will be no land of Babylon. You know, it'll just be an empty desert place across the ocean. As Elohim overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah and their neighbors, right? And how many were left there? None. States Yahweh, so no man will live there, nor shall a son of man stay in it. Behold, a people will come from the north, and a great nation, and many kings will be stirred up from the farthest parts of the earth, right? What happens? Why are they drying up the Euphrates River? Because the kings of the east are coming. So we're talking about an alliance, not just with Iran and with Russia, but also with China, with North Korea, you know? And we're seeing it happening. Behold, a people will come from the north and a great nation, and many kings will be stirred up from the farthest parts of the earth. They will lay hold of a bow and a javelin. They will be cruel and will show no mercy. Their voice will roar like the sea and arrayed like a man for battle. They will ride on horses against you, O daughter of Babylon. So, and verse 46, at the sound of Babylon's capture, the earth shall tremble and a cry is heard among the nations. Why? Because Babylon is the world leader economically, militarily, politically. And when that goes, you have chaos. You're going to have chaos in this world. You know, because there'll be nobody to rein in the terror and the horror that's coming from that point. So Babylon's fall brings fear on the earth and also allows the Arabs to attack Israel. Luke 21 in verse 10, we see the same thing in the New Testament. Of everything we just read. Luke 21 and verse 10. Then he said to them, nation will be lifted up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be severe earthquakes from place to place, and famines and plagues. We're seeing all this. And there will be fierce and terrorist acts, right? We're seeing that. And great signs will be seen from heaven. We talked about that already. The Revelation 12 sign. All different signs that we're seeing. Satellites and signs. And the winters will be severe. Wow. I mean, we're seeing some of the worst winters and summers that I think the earth has ever seen. But before these things, they will lay hands on you and persecute you, right? The fifth seal. That's why we have to make sure we're understanding we're in the time of the underground congregation. Before these things, they will lay hands on you and persecute you, and they will deliver you to the assemblies and to the prisons, and they will bring you before kings and governors because of my name, but it will return to you for a testimony, right? So we don't have to fear it. It's a way that we're going to testimony and witness for Yeshua. Then put in your hearts not to premeditate to make a defense, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all those opposing you will not be able to withstand or contradict. And your parents and your brothers and your relatives and your friends will betray you, and they will kill some of you, and you will be hated by all because of my name, and a hair of your head will in no way perish. By your patience, you will gain your souls, right? So do we have anything to fear? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. We are the children of the King. By your patience, you will gain your souls. And when you see Jerusalem being encircled by armies, then recognize that its destruction has come near, like we're reading. Then let those in Judea flee into the mountains, and those in its midst, let them go out. And those in the villages, let them not go into her. For these are days of vengeance when all things that have been written are to be fulfilled. And this is why in the end time, in the days we're living in right now, Yahweh is not calling us into Jerusalem. He's calling us into the wilderness. He's calling us in the wilderness to protect us. You know, to protect us from the things that are coming. The last scripture I'm going to read is Isaiah 26. And we have to embrace it. Because it's not only just to hide in the cave, So you don't get killed by a bomb. It's about purifying yourself. Yahweh's taking his people to the wilderness to purify them. He has to get every spot and wrinkle out of our garments. We have to get all this garbage of commercial Babylon out of our minds. And the only way he can do that is in the wilderness. Isaiah 26, starting in verse 19, just to show you the context is definitely end time. Your dead ones will live again. My dead body shall rise up. It's only one time that happens. That's in the resurrection, right? Awake and sing, those that dwell in the dust, for the dew of lights is your dew, and the earth shall cast out departed spirits. So it's the time of the resurrection. It's the time of Yeshua's return. This is what he's talking about. It's no other time it could be. And what does he tell his people in the time we're living in right now? Come, my people. Go in your rooms and shut your doors behind you. Hide for a little moment until the indignation passes or fury passes. So that's what he's telling us. He's telling us to go to the wilderness. He's got a place prepared. Not everybody is going to come to Selah. But Yahweh, wherever you are in the world, that's why we have 30 different communities. Yahweh will probably build more. Some people might be in those communities till the day Yeshua returns. Some people might be taken over here. That's all in Yahweh's hands. So, like I said, there are certain commands, like Babylon, where you're told to come out of it, whether it's physical Babylon or commercial Babylon, we are told, leave it. It's your choice. But the place you're going to be protected in the end, you know, at least if it's going to be in Selah, is Yahweh's choice. You don't have to worry about it. But you do have to go to the wilderness. You do have to leave commercial Babylon. You do have to leave where you are. And like he said, hide for a moment until the fury passes. For behold, Yahweh comes out of his place to visit his iniquity on those dwelling on the earth. The earth shall also reveal her blood and shall no more cover over her slain ones. There's a scripture that talks about in Israel, in the Jezreel Valley, and some of you have been there. It's a massive, massive valley that from the war that's coming there, the blood will be bridle high, 4 feet high of about, 100 square miles of blood. Somebody told me one time, I don't know if this is true, but they said that actually blood is very purifying for land. You know, that it literally helps land get nutrients back, that maybe that's what, one of the reasons why Yahweh's doing it. But there is going to be a lot of blood that is slain, but that's why Yahweh is telling his people. You know, he's telling his people, he's taking them to the wilderness, he's preparing places for all of his people all over the world, because we don't know. We don't know who Yahweh will bring, how Yahweh will bring them, but we do know in every place of our congregations around the world that Yahweh is building communities, and he's taking our people out of commercial Babylon and allowing them, setting up where they can live without being part of commercial Babylon. Growing their own food, you know, bartering and changing. And in 10 years we're doing this, not one community has failed. They're only getting stronger as we're going along. And we're working together. And now we have a community council. And people are visiting the communities from the councils and looking. And we're brainstorming together. We're, hey, in your place, you're able to do this. And in our place, we're able to do this. And we're seeing how we could work better together as a unified one people and one voice in the earth and prepare for what Yahweh's saying in the kingdom to come. So how beautiful. You know? And it's not by race or color, it's not by nationality, it's not by your passport, it's by the Spirit of Yahweh. That's the way he's doing it. So that is my Bible study tonight. And like the Bible says, watch and pray always, you know, for the time's coming. We need to be awake, we need to see what's happening, because when you start to see these things happen, look up, your salvation is near. And here we are, we're 1 year closer to Yeshua's return, and It's kind of chilling. Like now is like, whether it's like getting a new passport or something, I look and I say, wow, this will probably be the last time I ever need a passport again. You know, because by the time the next one comes, the kingdom of Yahweh will be here on this earth. So only Yahweh knows the ways, but boy, would I be shocked if another 10 years went by and Yeshua's kingdom wouldn't be here. You never know, it's in Yahweh's hands, but it really seems like things are really coming together. So Yahweh bless, Shabbat Shalom, and tomorrow we will see everybody for breakfast between 7:30 and 8:30. Come anytime you like, and then we will have our service at 10 o'clock. Yahweh bless.